Immediately, Bartimaeus received his sight. And the first thing he saw was Jesus. The eyes of Jesus, shining with power and love and healing. The eyes of the one who had given him his sight. And he followed Jesus on the way. Our Lord Jesus is famous for asking questions. Some years ago, one day, the Jesuit father John Deere began to write down every question Jesus ever asked in the Gospels. And he got to 307, which doesn't even count the questions that are within the parables that Jesus told. But of all these questions, one of the most provocative of all is the one that he asks Bartimaeus in today's Gospel reading. What do you want me to do for you? Now, it might seem that Bartimaeus' answer will be obvious, and why would Jesus even ask him this? But consider that last week we heard Jesus ask basically the same question to his disciples, James and John, in the passage right before the one that we heard today. They came to him and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And it turned out that what they wanted was positions of power and honor, and he did not give them what they asked for. It would seem that James and John didn't truly answer Jesus' question, because they answered it only superficially. If we give Jesus an answer that springs from ambition or greed or lust, then it's sin talking. It's not the real answer from our heart and soul that he's asking about. A month ago, we heard St. James say in his epistle, "You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask, but do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." And so when Jesus poses this question, that's not the kind of answer that he's looking for. What do you want me to do for you? To answer this, we have to reflect deeply. What do you want? What do you need? Who are you? What are you supposed to be? How are you falling short of that? What is it that you are lacking? What at root is missing or wounded in you? For Bartimaeus, his total blindness was a true response. In our society today, thanks to advances in medicine, very bad physical problems like his seem to be becoming much less common. But psychological problems, deep wounds and scars, are quite common indeed. What do you want me to do for you? Perhaps the answer is to heal the pain of having been abused or mistreated, or of abusing others. To heal the scars of divorce, your parents' divorce, or your own. To heal the pain of having had an abortion, or of knowing of one very close by. In such answers, we begin to answer Jesus' question. Not with what sin desires, but with what our heart cries out for. And do we notice how strong Bartimaeus is in seeking healing from Jesus? First, he cries out to him, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." He doesn't hold it in. He doesn't keep quiet out of embarrassment or concern for his reputation or wanting to be self-sufficient. He cries out to Jesus. Second, he doesn't give up. Even though many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, he kept calling out all the more. He didn't worry about others' opinions or criticism. He didn't let them discourage him from seeking what he needed from Jesus. Third, as soon as he heard that Jesus was calling him, he responded immediately. He threw aside his cloak, which he needed for warmth at night, and which held any money that he had gotten from begging, he threw it aside, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus, did not give up, and responded immediately. This is the manifestation of his faith. And Jesus did for him what he asked. Jesus healed him. And Jesus asks you, what do you want me to do for you? And he looks at you with those same eyes that Bartimaeus saw, shining with power and love and healing. What do you want me to do for you? And Jesus still heals today. This is one of the main reasons why I'm a priest, because I know that Jesus heals, and I want to help to bring people to him so that he can give them that healing. How does he heal? In many ways. Sometimes through natural means. Also through different spiritual gifts that he gives to members of his church. To some, he gives the charism or spiritual gift of healing. And through their touch or their intercessory prayers, he accomplishes healing in others. Another way he works is through different ministries that different of the faithful set up in love. For example, there's the self-giving love of Stephen ministry, now present in our parish. These fellow parishioners of yours have been trained so that they can listen and care for those who have experienced life difficulties, one-to-one, confidentially. And so in this way, to bring the love and care of Christ to them personally in those moments. Another special ministry that is available in our diocese is called Project Rachel, in which women and men who are suffering from the pain of past abortions are assisted through counseling, days of healing, and support groups so that they may receive the healing and grace of Christ. I've helped with this ministry, and you see their flyers on the back in the vestibule. And there are many other kinds of ministries in our church through which our Lord heals. And in addition to these, of the seven sacraments that Christ instituted, two of them are classified as the sacraments of healing. Do you know what they are? For through these sacraments, Christ accomplishes healing in his faithful through the hands of me or of any other priest. One sacrament of healing is the anointing of the sick, which can be given to any Catholic who has begun to be seriously ill. Our Lord will sometimes work physical healing through this anointing, but he always accomplishes a spiritual strengthening, so that when bodily difficulties make it hard to continue to believe and trust and act in love toward others, he gives the additional grace that is needed. In my experience, what that seems to look like in the person who receives this sacrament is that their fear is replaced by peace. And they experience a deep personal knowledge that God loves them. And how very powerful a help that is in moments of serious illness. The anointing of the sick is powerful indeed, but it is only for those who are seriously ill. But the other of the two sacraments of healing is available all the time for every one of the faithful. And that is the sacrament of confession, of reconciliation and penance. And this is indeed a sacrament of great healing. Surely we all know what great suffering guilt can bring when it is carried, how it can weigh someone down and fester within you. But in this sacrament of confession, it is possible to open up and pour it all out, all the sorrow that you have been carrying for your sins. And in that moment of truth, to look up and find the eyes of Jesus looking at you, shining with power and love and forgiveness and healing. You know, whenever I'm beginning to hear someone's confession, and they tell me that it has been some amount of time, more than a year since their last confession, I immediately feel very glad. Not glad that it has been that long, but glad because at last, that time of suffering is coming to an end. And usually when we come to the end of the confession, and it comes time for me to pronounce those words of absolution, I absolve you from your sins, I will usually actually feel in some way chains breaking, the burden falling off. And it is wonderful. And so I hope that there are not many here today who have not been to confession in years. And I hope that there are none who are walking around spiritually dead from having committed a mortal sin and not brought it to confession, and thus having killed the share of the divine life that you received in baptism. And yet, how quickly that life can be restored. In a matter of minutes, those chains, that burden that you have been experiencing for so long, can be gone. In minutes, you can be healed by our Lord Jesus. So please, seek our Lord's healing. Above all, come to confession. Come to the divine healer, Jesus Christ, who asks you, "What do you want me to do for you?" Come with the faith of Bartimaeus, who cried out to Jesus and did not give up, no matter what anyone else around him said. Let our Lord heal your wounds, dry your tears, and fill your heart with joy.